So we are holding on Hey Umud Aleph, 10 lines from the 10 lines from the top, nine lines rather from the top. Line begins by Yoim. Okay, we're in the middle of discussing how we know that the Isser of Chometz and that the mitzvah of getting rid of it begins at Chatzos of Erev Pesach. How do we know it doesn't begin the night of Pesach itself? So we had Abaya pointing out that you have a pasuk that says Shivas Yomim, that for 7 days you're not allowed to have chametz. Another one that says Bayom Harishon, on the first day you have to get rid of chametz. The first day can't possibly mean the first day of Yom Tov, because then you're going into Yom Tov with chametz in your possession, and the whole point is that you have to have for 7 full days you don't have it. It also can't mean by night. It also can't mean that Bayom Harishon tells us the first night you have to get rid of the chametz, and you don't. If not for that, we would have thought by day, because since you have to eat matzah by night, we have a double hekesh between matzah and chametz, and between eating matzah and eating chametz, and between eating chametz and get rid of chametz, that they all begin by night. So automatically, in other words, we know that by night already, when you have to eat matzah, you can't be eating chametz. And automatically from that, we know that therefore chametz has to have been gotten rid of by that time. So if we have a pasuk by Yom HaRishon and it says ach by Yom HaRishon, then the ach tells us that there's a division within that day itself. So the Gemara continues. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, we learn in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Here's another way of looking at it. Motzinu Yudalad Shenikra Rishon. We actually find where the 14th of Nisan is called Rishon. So therefore, in other words, we don't even need the fact that the psukim seem to contradict each other, and we had to reconcile them. Just the fact by itself that it says Ach Bayom Rishon, the 14th day can be called Rishon. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Barishon Baal Baal Asayim Bachodesh, as it says on the Rishon, on the 14th day of the month. Now, okay, I mean, in Pshat, of course, the word Rishon means the first month, so it means Nissan. But the Gemara is understanding, the Tanit Veda Bishmol is understanding that Rishon, although it could have said Bachodesh Rishon in that case. So by saying Barishon, also implies that the 14th of Nisan itself can be called Rishon. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Rishon de Meikra Mashma. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, here's another way, again, without looking at the contradiction of the psukim, the word Rishon does not have to mean the first thing, it can mean the one preceding. Now, we already used that in Abaya's explanation, because that's how we knew that Bayom HaRishon means the day before Pesach. But now Rav Nachman Yitzchok is pointing out that we can arrive at that without even needing to point out the contradiction in the psukim. The Amakra HaRishon Adam Tivolid, as you find a pasuk in Eov, where Eliphaz, one of his friends, says to him, "Were you born before Adam?" So he doesn't mean Harishon Adam, were you created as the first man? He means, were you created before Adam? That, like, you think you know how everything should work, and so forth. So we see that the word Rishon can mean preceding. So therefore, when it says Ach Bayom HaRishon, then it means the day before Pesach. Okay, so the question is, Elamayata, by that logic, what about the pasuk says about lulav, that you should take lulav on the yom harishon? Are you going to say over there that it means that you start taking lulav on erev sukkos? The answer is shiny hosam dechtibu smachtem lifnei Hashem alekechem shivas yomim. No, the difference is because there the pasuk continues that you take lulav and you should rejoice in front of Hashem for 7 days. So there it clearly says 7 days. Ma shvi shvi lachag. And when we say 7 days, the seventh day obviously means counting from the beginning of the Yom Tov. Af rishon lachag, the same thing. Then when it says rishon earlier in the pasuk, it must mean the beginning, it must mean the first day of the Yom Tov, not like we're saying over here that rishon means beforehand, but rather that here rishon has its usual meaning of the first one. The question is, when it comes to Pesach also, and the Gemara is actually quoting the two parts of the Pasuk out of order. The actual order in the Pasuk is first it mentions Shivas Yom and Matzah Techelu, and then it mentions Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu. But the point is, same idea. In other words, you have the word Rishon in a Pasuk together with Shivas Yomim, and we're saying over here that the word Rishon means the day before. So why should it be like that by Pesach and not be like that by Sukkos? The answer is Im Kain, yes, but if the Pasuk meant that you have to have chometz gotten rid of by the first day of Pesach rather than the day before Pesach, nichtiv krod rishon. Then the pasuk could have written, ach b'yoim rishon. And then it would mean the first day of Yom Tov. Ha rishon lamali. Why does it need to say the first day? Shmamina lachid amaran. That means that we're saying that the word ha rishon over here is like that word harishon adam tivolid. That here it means the day before. Well, the question is, if so, hasam nami harishon lamali, nu, and by sukkos, when it says, lakachta lachem b'yom harishon, same logic, you could argue it could have said b'yom rishon, and it says b'yom harishon, which would have to mean then, based on what we're saying now, would be the day before sukkos. The two, and not only that, you have another pasuk in connection with sukkos, hasam, in that case, dichtiv b'yom harishon shabbat, when it says on the first day there's Shabbos, in a day of resting from most kinds of malacha, and on the eighth day Shmini Atzeres the Shabbos, maybe the same thing over there. Maybe the word rishon over there means that you stop work on erev Sukkos. So the answer is no. Shiny hossam. No, because it's different over there. Da'ama kra uvayoy mashmini shabosin. Because the pasuk continues, and on the eighth day is shabosin. Again, mashmini shmini dechag. The eighth day over there obviously means the eighth day of the Yom Tov. Af rishon dechag. So therefore, the word rishon has to also mean the first day of Yom Tov. What about you asking horishon lomali? So why the hey on the word horishon? Why not biyoyim rishon? Because Lama'uti Chole Shalmoyed, because the Torah wants to tell us that Chalamoyed is not Osir in Malacha. And not only not Osir in Malacha, but Tosfos points out also, you don't take Lulav on it. In Midaraisi, you take Lulav for 7 days only in the Bez Mikdash. Anywhere else, you take it only the one day. After the Churban, Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai made the Takana, as we have it now, that you take Lulav full 7 days. So the Horishon over there comes to teach us not to that Malacha and Lulav don't that Malacha and Lulav don't take place during Chol HaMoed. But not to tell us the day before, like we're saying over here.
Say it also for Pesach.
No, because for Pesach, what we're saying is, once it says Ach Bayim Horishon Tashbisus Urme Batechem, what we're saying is, on the first day already, because by Pesach you don't have the word Bayim Horishon and Bayim Ashvi. In fact, the Gemara is going to point out over here, one second, that when it comes to Sukkos, we have a vav in between them. We're going to see in a second. When it comes to Pesach, we don't have that. So let's continue the discussion, and then we'll address that question. Of why we don't say that the same thing applies to Pesach. So the Gemara asks, Chol HaMoed Merishon Shmini Nafka. What do you mean? You don't need a mute for Chol HaMoed from the implication of the word Harishon. It says the first day is also in Malacha, the eighth day is also in Malacha. So obviously that means all the other days in between are Mutter. The answer is no, it's Trich. No, we still need the Harishon to tell us to exclude Chol HaMoed. Sakrad Chamina, otherwise you would think, Hoyol Dekosav Rachmana. Because the pasuk says on the first day there's Shabbosin and on the eighth day there's Shabbosin, vav moisif al inyan rishon. So you would think, therefore, the vav comes to tell you to add to what you have before. So therefore, it means that you can't do malacha on the first day and on all the subsequent days, including the eighth day. Therefore, instead, we need the horishon to tell us not like that. Don't darshin the vav like that. And as opposed to when it comes to Pesach, actually, the pasuk when it mentions the isu malacha on Pesach, the expression is the expression is bayoyim hashvii mikra kodesh. In Parshas Emor, when it lists the moedim, it says that you have the first day Pesach, and then you bring korbanos bayoyim hashmini on the eighth day. Bayoyim hashvii on the seventh day mikra kodesh. Then you have a yom tov and kol malachas avoda leisasu. So there, it doesn't have a vav at all. So we don't need the horishon to tell us that Chol HaMoed is to tell us that Chol HaMoed is different. And again, that's when it comes to malacha, Chol HaMoed is different. When it comes to Pesach, since the pasuk says The pasuk clearly says shivas yomim, that you're not allowed to eat chametz. What's the lashon over there? Shivas yomim sa'ur lo yimotzi b'vateichem, kol machmetzis lo yitzichelu, etc. So we see that chametz applies all the 7 days. There's no hava amina to think otherwise. But we would have thought with Pesach, we don't have a reason to think that malacha should be also all 7 days, because in fact it doesn't say uvayoyim there. But by Sukkot, where it says uvayoyim, we would have thought that had it not been for the horishayim. Okay, so then the question is, v'loy lichta v'rachmana, loy vav, v'loy hey. In that case, then the Torah could have left out the vav of uvayoyim hashmini and the hey of horishayim, and we'd say automatically that means chol hamoed is excluded. And we wouldn't have any reason to think that we might be talking about the day before Sukkot. Why put in the hay of Horishon, which can be misunderstood to mean Erev Sukkot, and then say, but on the other hand, it comes to counteract the Vav of Uvayom, don't put in either one. You don't have a problem in the first place. The answer is, Ela, no. Hani Shloisha Rishon, no. The answer is like this. It's true. We have three times in the Pesukim that it mentions Horishon in connection with the Yomim Tovim. You have, when it comes to, aside from the one that we're talking about over here, by Yom Horishon Tashvisu Sa'omim Batechim, that one we're still sticking to. Rav Nachman Yitzchok is still saying that one we're using for to teach Rishon over there means actually Erev Yomtiv, and it means Erev Yomtiv in the middle of the day, you already have to get rid of the Chometz. The other Rishons that it says, by Yom Horishon Shabbosin, or by Yom Hashmini Shabbosin, that you have the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah, all the days of Sukkot, and that you have by Yom Horishon Shabbosin or by Yom Hashmini Shabbosin, which is in connection with the mitzvahs of Sukkot, in particular sitting in the Sukkah. You have the by Yom Horishon that it says by Pesach. By Pesach also by the Parashas Hamoedim in Parashas Emor, it also says that you don't do work by Yom Horishon. And also you have by Lulav, where it says, Olakachtem Lachem by Yom Horishon. Those three Horishons are not coming to tell us anything about the actual day when this takes place, but rather those are for a drosha. Hani Shloisha Rishon mi boile l'chidetonet v'eda bishmol. We need those three Rishons for the teaching of Tonet v'eda bishmol. So in other words, now Tosfos says, actually, in connection with each one of those Yom Tovim, it says the word Horishon multiple times. But the point is, everything within one mitzvah is counted as one time. So altogether, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach, the days when Melacha is also, it says by Yom Horishon. When it comes to Sukkot as a whole, it uses by Yom Horishon. And specifically, when it comes to Lulav, it also uses by Yom Horishon. So those count as three times, and we don't care about the fact that there are other times in connection with those same mitzvahs where it says the word Horishon again. As far as the Bayom Horishon, Tashbisu Sa'ur, that one is in a different parasha. The other ones that we're talking about, the three Horishons, are all in Parashas Emor when it lists all the Yom Tovim one after the other. This one that Reb Nachman Yitzchok is focusing on, that we're focusing on in our sugya, is in Parashas Bo. So that one is not in that category. So the three that it says, the ones that it says in Parshas Emor are used for the following drasha: the Tonet Veda Bishmol, Bischar Shloisha Rishon, Zochu L'Shloisha Rishon. In the reward for the three Rishons that the Jewish people keep, there is Zoicha to three things that are also called Rishon elsewhere in Pesukim. Lahachri Sare Shal Esav, to destroy the descendants of Esav. Levinian Beis Hamikdash, to build the Beis Hamikdash, v'lishmoy shel Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. The reason why the Marshal says, when we say the name of Mashiach, the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions a number of possibilities what the name of Mashiach is. One thing it mentions over there is that the name of Mashiach is Menachem. That's the Shmoy Shel Mashiach that we're referring over here, that Mashiach's job will be to comfort the Jewish people from all the hardships that we went through in Golos. So that's what we mean, L'Shmoy Shel Mashiach, that we're Zoicha to that Nechama of Golos. So what does this mean? L'Hachris Zarei Shel Esav. One of these Rishons gives us the schus to destroy the descendants of Esav. When Esav is born, he's described as the first. The first one came out all red, covered with hair like a hairy mantle. So we see that Esav is called Rishon, and one of these Rishons counteracts him. Ulabinyan Beis Hamikdash Tichtiv Kisei Kavod, the throne of Hashem's glory, Moray Marishon, which was exalted from the beginning, Mekoy Mikdashenu, the place of our Beis Hamikdash. So we see that the Beis Hamikdash is called Rishon. V'lishmo Shal Mashiach, and the third Rishon is the name of Mashiach. Tichtiv Rishon Letzion Hinei Hinam, the first one that comes to Tzion, behold, here they are, meaning Mashiach. So what's the connection between them? So Maharsha explains. Pesach was when Hashem took us out of the first Golos. Therefore, that corresponds to Hashem taking us out of the last Golos and destroying the descendants of Esav and Edom. Sitting in the Sukkah on Sukkos corresponds to the Beis Hamikdash. In fact, the Beis Hamikdash itself is called a Sukkah, Vayhi V'Shalim Sukkah. And the simcha that's associated with taking the lulav corresponds to Shmoy Shal Mashiach, to the simcha and the nechama that Mashiach will bring us. So we see, therefore, that those three harishons that we were worried about are all coming for this drasha. So we don't have to worry about those harishons that they could possibly mean the day before Yom Tov. They don't. They're coming for this drasha about what is going to be accomplished by doing these mitzvahs. So now we have left the one harishon by Yom Harishon Tashvisus Omer Batechem, and we can say, as Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, the word rishon in and of itself can mean the day before, and that's what it means over here. It means the day before Pesach already. You have to get rid of chametz. Okay. Rava Amar Mehach. Rava says, here's another derivation where we can show how you know that you have to get rid of chametz by the middle of the day on Erev Pesach. Remember, D'oraisa, we're talking about only from Chatzos. The pasuk says, "Lois sishchat achomet dam zivchi." You should not shecht the blood of my korban, meaning the korban Pesach, with chomets. Meaning, "Lois sishchat Pesach va'adayin chomets kayim." You're not allowed to shecht the korban Pesach when chomets is still around. Now we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that usually they would shecht the korban Pesach only in the middle of the afternoon, because they needed time for people to still be able to bring korbanos earlier in the day. The order was people bring all their korbanos. Eventually, then they bring the korban tomer chalben ha'abayim, and after that they would start with the korban pesach. We're going to learn in the fifth perek of our masechta that the korban pesach is almost the only korban that ever goes after the tomer chalben ha'abayim. But usually they would have to allow time for that. But in principle, midaraisa, the earliest you could. So we said we were going to say over there that when Erev Pesach would be on Erev Shabbos, then they would move it up as much as possible. They'd bring the korban tamid 6.5 hours into the day, and the Pesach right after that, which is mincha gdola, in order to allow time for people to roast the korban Pesach before Shabbos. Midaraisa, though, you could actually offer the Korban Pesach anytime from Chatzos and on. The Chachamim put in, and the Korban Tamar Chaben Abayim also could be anytime from Chatzos and on. The Chachamim put in a little bit of leeway because the Gemara mentions in Yuma the walls of the Beis Hamikdash weren't exactly perpendicular, so the shadows couldn't be noticed on the walls until a half hour had passed after Chatzos. But on a Daraisa level, at least, you could shecht the Korban Pesach beginning from Chatzos. Actually, Tosfos says, the Talmud Chaben Abayim is supposed to come first, but we're going to learn later on that if you shecht the Korban Pesach before the Talmud, then it is kosher. You just have to only sprinkle the blood of it after the Korban Talmud's blood was sprinkled. So therefore, in principle, you could shecht the Korban Pesach anytime from Chatzos onward. So therefore, Chatzos and onward is the time of bringing the Korban Pesach, and the Pasuk is implying that the Pasuk is saying you should not have chametz in your possession at that time. That means chametz has to have been gotten rid of by Chatzos. The question is, maybe what the Pasuk means is every individual person is also to have chametz in their possession when they shech their Korban Pesach. So maybe the Torah is not telling us a time that applies to everybody. Maybe the Torah is just telling us, if you shech your Pesach, your Korban Pesach, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then you have to make sure that by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't have any chametz in your possession. Where do we see that it's a blanket rule for everybody, that for everybody it begins at Chatzos? And the fact of the matter is, Tosfos says that is actually valid al pi halacha. Al pi halacha, if a person shechts, we say that a person is obligated to get rid of chametz by chatzos. But let's say a person didn't, and he still had chametz in his possession when he shechted the korban pesach, he would actually be chayev malchus for it. But in other words, so he's not chayev malchus necessarily for having chametz around after chatzos. We talked about yesterday, machlokas rishonim, is he actually over on bal yiro, bal yimotza after chatzos? But even then, to be over, he'd have to be over and get malchus for that. He would have to actually have bought chametz or taken dough and made it chametz or whatever. Just having chametz passively is not going to be mechayev and malchus. Lav shein memaisa, right? But so. Bayiro by Matzah is a lav shein b'maisa. Well, so that's the thing. It can be a lav sheyesh b'maisa. We're going to talk about, it can be a lav sheyesh b'maisa because again, you could have, for example, that you go buy some chametz or you go take dough and make it chametz. But if you just have passively, then you're not. But anyway, so there is a similar lav when it comes to shecht in the Korban Pesach. So maybe we would say, in other words, So there's no particular time. Any person can get rid of chametz whenever in the afternoon they want, as long as they make sure they do it before their Korban Pesach. And again, the fact of the matter is, if they have it in their possession when they shecht the Korban Pesach, then they are over on that lav. So maybe both lavim only kick in. Maybe all those lavim only kick in at that time. The answer is zman shchita omer rachmana. No, because the pasuk is actually talking about the time which is designated for the shchita. The pasuk, in other words, is saying when the time of the shchita of the Korban Pesach comes, which again on a daraisa level begins at chatzos. At that point, you can't have any chametz in your possession. So it is true that you also. So in other words, you end up with two different things. You have a time for everybody by which they have to have gotten rid of their chametz, and if not, then they're over on tashbisu and maybe bal yiro or bal yimotze. In addition, you also have an individual thing per person that when they shecht the Korban Pesach, if they still have chametz in their possession, then they're also over on lo sishchata chametz dam zivchi. So the Gemara says, Tanya nami hochi, we learn similarly in a braisa. The pasuk says, ach bayimurishin tashbisu sorim bateichem. However, on the first day, you have to get rid of sa'ur from your houses. That means me'erev yamdiv. So oy eina ela b'yomtiv atzmei. How do you know? Maybe it means on yomtiv itself. No, tamad lo sishchata chametz dam zivchi. This is the derivation that Rava used because it says lo sishchata chametz dam zivchi. Lo sishchata the pesach v'adayin chametz kayim. You shouldn't shecht the Korban Pesach when chametz is still in your possession. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rava is using the same drasha as Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Akiva says, Ein et sorich. I don't need to learn it from that. I have a different source that you have to get rid of chametz sometime on Erev Pesach. And then we'll see how we know Davka from the middle of the day. Harehu Omer, Ach b'yemershin tashvisa soim b'techem. Again, we're going back to basically the same drosha as Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok before, but actually, as Abaya before that we learned yesterday that Abaya had pointed out a contradiction between Psukim, and based on the contradiction, we said it has to mean Erev Pesach. So Rabbi Akiva is doing that, but a little bit differently. It says Ach b'yemershin tashvisa soim b'techem uchtiv kol malacha loisasu. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to Yom Tov, the pasuk says you're not allowed to do any malacha. We know that burning is an av malacha. It's one of the 39 malachas. So therefore the pasuk can't be telling us that you have to burn your chametz on Yom Tov. We're going to talk about it on Omid Beis. Why not? You're allowed to burn things in fire on Yom Tov. So we'll get to that point. But the pasuk cannot be telling us to burn it on Yom Tov because you wouldn't be allowed to. It would be an av malacha. This is havara shaloi l'tzorech. So therefore, necessarily, bayoyim arishin tashbisu must mean that you have to get rid of it on the day before Yom Tov. Rabbi Yosi yoyimah enet tzorech. Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it says over here on the side, says I don't need that. I have another way of learning it. Harehu oyimah ach bayoyim arishin tashbisu soyim v'techem. Necessarily, that has to be me'er of Yom Tov. Oy ena ela b'yom tov. Tamad loyimah ach cholak. So we use the fact that we said earlier on the Omud that the word ach means a division. Now, before when we use that, we said that therefore, once we establish that it's Erev Pesach, then the word ach teaches us it's chatzos. Rabbi Yossi is taking it a little different. He says like this, again, we are using partly the same logic as Abaya used before, that it can't mean on Yom Tov itself because the Pasuk says shivas yomim for 7 full days, you can't have chametz. and that means already it starts before. Now, unlike before, and we can't say that it means that you, without that, you would have thought you could do it by night, because again, you have the hekesh between eating matzah and eating chametz, and between eating chametz and getting rid of chametz. But given that also you have ach cholak, you can't say that it means it has to be during the day. Because otherwise, what is the ach cholak coming to do? What is it coming to divide? If you're going to say that the mitzvah of getting rid of chometz begins only at night, then there's no ach cholak. When is ach supposed to take effect? So like this, instead, we say it must mean during the daytime, and it means to divide the day into two: a part where you're allowed to have chometz and a part where you're not. Okay, so that's the thing. It couldn't be, continues Rabbi Yossi, that the Torah means you should get rid of chametz on Yom Tov itself. Again, we have the double hekesh that as soon as Yom Tov begins, all chametz has to have been gotten rid of. So you can't say that ach means that bena shmoshes, that bein hashmoshes, you should be getting rid of the chametz. Necessarily, it has to be earlier in the day, and therefore we're back to that it's chatzos. Either just because ach is a miut, and therefore it means part yes, part not. And we had what Rashi mentions about that we talked about yesterday, about the interchange of the letters, aleph with ches, chof with tzaddik. That gives us the word chetz, which means chatzi, which means a half. Yeah. Okay. Omar Rava. So Rava says, let's analyze what Rabbi Akiva just said. Rabbi Akiva had said that how do we know that it can't be that the mitzvah of getting rid of chametz is on Yom Tov itself, because havara is a malacha. So what does that mean? So Rava says shmamina min Rabbi Akiva tflas. Based on what Rabbi Akiva says, you can derive three things about what his shita is. Shmamina ein bi chametz el asreifa. Number one. We can see that he holds the only valid way of getting rid of chametz is burning it, which we're going to have a machloikas in the next perek between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about that. Rabbi Yehuda says ein bi chametz el asreifa, and he learns it from Noiser, which has to be burnt, and the Chachamim disagree and say you can destroy chametz however you want. So now, if Rabbi Akiva held like the Chachamim, you could get rid of chametz on Yom Tov. You have many other ways. You could feed it to dogs. You could throw it into the sea. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is saying you can't because Havara is also implies that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you can't, that the only valid way to get rid of chametz is by burning it. The only way to be mekayim in the mitzvah of Tashbisu is by burning the chametz. Actually, Mefoshim talk about even Rabbi Yehuda later on, the Gemara says that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when it comes the zman of bir chametz, then you can do whatever you need. Because for example, you have, let's say, for example, if Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos and you have chametz left, you can't burn it. What do it nowadays? We flush it down the toilet. Even Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says later, would agree that that's valid because when it comes the zman. So we would be saying, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva maybe would be even more machmir than Rabbi Yehuda. He would say ein bir chametz el asreifa, period. The only valid way of bir chametz would actually be to burn it. Any other way, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Yeah, you don't have the chametz in your possession, fine, but you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu Sorim Bateichem only by burning it. Okay, so that's one thing we learned from Rabbi Akiva. Ushmamina have oral lachalik yotzas. We also see the fact that Rabbi Akiva calls it an av malacha means that he holds have oral lachalik yotzas like Rabbi Nosson, not have oral lelav yotzas like Rabbi Yossi. We learned about this in Masechta Shabbos. That now of all the malachas of Shabbos, the one that the Torah mentions explicitly is loy sevaru esh b'chomesh v'seichem b'yema Shabbos. So what is that coming for? There's two possibilities. One is that it's an example of dover shahoy b'chlal v'yotzim in a klal l'lamed, lo l'lamed al atzme yotza, el l'lamed al klal kula yotza. Just like the Torah singles out burning and making a fire and calls it a malacha, so also every other, so it teaches us that, and if a person is over on it, then he has to bring an individual b'shogig, then he has to bring an individual chatas, just like for any other lav where there's a maisa. The same way, every other malacha, the same thing. That was where we learned the concept that we learned in Masechta Shabbos, where if a person knows that it's Shabbos but doesn't know that these are malachas, and he does a bunch of malachas, that he's chayev individual chatois for each one. We learn that from Havara L'chalik Yotzas, that it comes to teach us that each malacha is considered a separate thing as far as a chiyuv chatas. The other way of looking at it is that the lav yotzas is it teaches us that Havara, unlike all the other malachas, is only an isur lav. There would be Malkus involved, but no Kores. There would be no Kores and no Chatas involved, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That exactly that. That if a person does have Ora on Shabbos, he's only getting Malkus, according to him. Yeah. Now, I mean, the halacha is not like him. The halacha is Havara l'chalik yotzas, and Havara is just as much an Av Malacha as any other. That's the point. We're saying Rabbi Akiva by saying when he says in the Braisa that Havara is an Av Malacha, he wants to stress, in other words, he didn't have to use the word Av Malacha. He could have just said that Havara is a Lav, and that would have meant that he holds like Rabbi Yossi. But the fact that he calls it Av Malacha means that he holds that it is a chi of kores and a skill or chatas, just like any one of the other others. Tosfos actually mentions a second possibility, that if Rabbi Akiva held like Rabbi Yossi that have order lav yatzas, then it actually would be mutter on Yom Tov, because if it's not called a full fledged malacha, then maybe it would be mutter on Yom Tov altogether. We would say it's also on Shabbos, fine, it's an isu lav, but maybe we'd say on Yom Tov it would be completely mutter. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is telling us that on Yom Tov it's also implies that to him it's a malacha like any other, which is like Rav Nosson's shita. Ushmamina, and the third thing we can learn from what Rabbi Akiva says, loy amrinin hoyovo hutra av or latzorach hutra nami shaloy latzorach. Now, when it comes to malachas on Yom Tov, we know that there are certain malachas that you're allowed to do, or because you're allowed to do them for oichel nefesh, or you're allowed to do them only for oichel nefesh or for other purposes as well. It's a machlokas b'shamay b'shilol in Beitza. So for example, you're allowed to use fire on Yom Tov in order to cook, but are you allowed to use fire for other purposes on Yom Tov? Beis Shammai says no, Beis Hillel says yes. According to Beis Shammai, you'd have to light before Yom Tov, I guess. On the second day of Yom Tov, okay, so you don't have that. Now it's a show they didn't have, but in Chutz Laaretz, I guess they would say, I don't know, you have to have, you have to light Yortzeit candles or something, I don't know. Whatever, the halacha is not like Beis Shammai, but the halacha is like Beis Hillel. But once it's mutter for oichel nefesh, then it's mutter for other purposes as well. Rabbi Akiva evidently holds like Beis Shammai in this. He's saying that even though Havara is allowed on Yom Tov Letzorech, but it's not allowed Shaloi Letzorech, getting rid of Chometz is not called Letzorech. So therefore, again, if the Pasuk is telling us that you have to get rid of chametz and you have to do it by burning, it can't mean on Yom Tov. It has to be before Yom Tov. That brings us to say that it must be that you have to get rid of chametz and burn it on Erev Yom Tov. Now, what does that mean in that? So what is the actual din if a person finds chametz on Yom Tov? So then it's actually not so simple. From our Gemara over here, we're saying Rabbi Akiva holds you wouldn't be able to do that. But again, according to Rashi, but Rabbi Akiva is going only according to, well, actually Rashi doesn't say it, but according to, on the surface at least, Rabbi Akiva is going like Beis Shammai. So does that mean that according to Beis Hillel, you would be allowed to burn chametz if you find some on Yom Tov? If you find chametz in your house on Yom Tov, then you would be allowed to. Some of the Rishonim say yes. Others say that even so, there might be reasons why you're not allowed to. Maybe it's not considered, the one way of looking at it is considered a tzorech, because every moment you have the chametz in your possession, you're over on Bal Yoro or Bal Yomotzeh. Another way of looking at it is maybe not. Maybe it's not considered such a tzorech, or maybe what it is another point is also that some Rishonim say, the fact is chametz is muktzeh. Now muktzeh is only an issur de rabbanon, but that doesn't allow, the Chachamim can still tell you not to touch Muktzah, even though that means in this case that there's an Issur D'Oraisa involved. The Chachamim have the ability to do that when there's Shev Val Taseh. And especially because, after all, now what about if you were to just burn it where it is without moving it? Even so, given that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, you can destroy Chometz anyway, Lav Davka, by burning, then you have ways in which you could destroy it without being over on a Malacha, for example, throwing it into the river. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed, according to that shita, you wouldn't be allowed to burn it, because burning it would still be considered shaloi letzorech, given that in principle, there would be other ways of destroying it, except you can't do them because of muktzah. Then therefore, the result is you can't do anything to it. You just koifa all of kli, you put a keli over it, And then Chalamoyed, and then Chalamoyed, you deal with it. So the Alter Rebbe mentions both opinions. He says that if you have a place where they're noyig like the first Svara, and therefore that they burn chametz if they find it on Yom Tov, then fine, you can stick with that because there are many Rishonim who hold that way. However, where there's no particular minig, better to follow the second Svara, and that's in general how it is. If you find chametz and koifal of kli, and you deal with it, after Yom Tov. By the way, I forgot to mention on Amud Aleph when we were talking about the derivations where we know that that the Isser of Chometz begins at Chatzois of Yud Dalad. The Meiri has a very interesting take on it. He says the Egyptians were very big on astrology. In astrology, now you have one thing. In any society, they have to decide what time does a new day begin. So we have, it begins by Tzeisa Kechavim. In the Goyish world, they begin it by midnight. He says the Egyptians would begin by midday. That's what he says. Because also the astrologers in his times did that. The truth is, astronomers nowadays, astronomy and astrology are two completely separate things. But whatever, astronomers nowadays a lot of times find it convenient also to consider noon as the middle of the day. Because think of it, they're trying to track the movements of things that are visible at night, stars, planets, galaxies, what have you. So therefore, if a new day begins at midnight, then it's a hassle. You have, part of the observation was on this day and part on the next day. So they find it convenient to start the day for astronomical purposes at noon. So the Meiri says the Egyptians did the same kind of thing. Therefore, for them, the 15th of the month began at Chatzos Hayom. In token of that, we get rid of Chometz by Chatzos Hayom on the 14th.
Question. Why do you say that you have to cover chametz that you find on Pesach when you did bitul chametz and there's no chametz by definition?
You did bitul, but you still have the problem. You did bitul, but we're going to learn later. You still have to do bedikah as well, midrabanan, as we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta. You still have the problem that we're going to mention tomorrow. Shemi yimtza gluska yafa. You might find a nice piece of chametz and eat it. Therefore, you have to cover it. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about that point tomorrow. You're right. On a daraisa level, if you mavatal it, then maybe you're not over on bal yiro. By the fact that it's uncovered, but you still have to cover it at least midrabanan. Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. But also, by the way, another point worth mentioning in connection with this thing of Rabbi Akiva, that after all, you have a mitzvah of hashbosas chametz, you have a mitzvah tashbisu samer batechem. On the face of it, that if we said another point that Rabbi Hananel says again, when we were saying that Rabbi Akiva holds that havara l'chalik yotzas, that it's considered a full-fledged malacha like any other. If it was so Tosfos had brought from the Rivod that if it was a lav, maybe it would be mutter on Yom Tov. Rabbi Hananel says, fine, generally it would be also on Yom Tov, maybe, but maybe in order to be mekayim the esse of Tashbisu, maybe we would override that lav. After all, esse doichalois esse. So therefore, only the fact that Rabbi Akiva says that it's l'chalik yotzas, that it's not just a lav, that it's a full-fledged malacha, and again that he's saying that to do it on Yom Tov would be shaloi l'tzorech, is why he's saying, therefore, the pasuk is implying that you can't be doing it on Yom Tov, necessarily you have to be doing it before Yom Tov. Okay. The Gemara says, Tonan Abanan, Shivas Yomim Sa'ur Lo Yimotz B'Vateichem, Ma Tamad Loimar. What does the pasuk need to tell us? For 7 days, Sa'ur should not be found in your houses. Why do we need that? The pasuk already says that no Sa'ur and no Chometz should be seen anywhere in your boundaries. So automatically that means that it can't be found. Or what's the difference? In other words, between Lo Yirah and Lo Yimotz. So like this, Lafisha Nema La Yuroy Lachosar, the Pasuk says Sa'ur should not be visible of yours, meaning Shocho Iataroya, you're not allowed to see your own chametz, Aval Ataroya Shalachirim Vishogavoya, but you are allowed to see chametz of other people, meaning Goyim, or of Shogavoya, of Hektish. So if you have chametz belonging to a Goy or belong to Hektish in your possession, it's fine if you see it. But Yocho Yatmin the Kabbal Pekdonis Min Anachri. In that case, you would think maybe you're allowed to hide away your chametz, just put in a drawer or something, or accept a pikodin of chametz from a goy. After all, lo yirah l'cha means lo yirah, it shouldn't be seen. So if you close, you put it up in a drawer, then you don't see it. And if you take a pikodin from a goy, then it's not l'cha. So maybe it should be mutter. No. Therefore, the pasuk says there should not be found. So you were asking Avraham Moshe yesterday, what's the difference between lo yiro and lo yimotze? Now you see from the Gemara over here the beginning of the difference. We'll talk about as we go through. We'll talk about more distinctions. continues the Braisa, aim the elabon.
So what is it exactly? If you put it in a cupboard?
Hold on. So if you put it in a cupboard, then you're not over on lo yirah, but you're still over on lo yimatzeh. It's still found in your possession. So that's why I was saying that if you hide it, then there's lo yimatzeh. Now you would think that maybe this din applies only to a guy who you haven't conquered, the ein shori, in other words, that you don't control what he does, or the ein shori imcha b'chotzer, or he doesn't live in the same chotzer as you. How do we know the same din applies even if you conquered and control what the goy does and he lives with you in the chotzer? Therefore, the pasuk says it shouldn't be found in your houses. Now, the Gemara is going to ask later on, what do you mean? I mean, that seems backwards. There's more reason to say that it should be also if you do control the goy than you don't. So the Gemara is going to explain further down on the Amud what the b'raisa means. Anyway, continues the b'raisa. Now the pasuk is saying sa'ula yimatzi b'vateichem, so maybe it only applies to your houses. B'boris b'shichin of a ma'oris minayin. How do we know it also applies to chametz in a bur shiach u'mayra, which are various kinds of pits for water in the ground? A bur is round, a shiach is rectangular, a ma'ora has a cover over it. How do we know, for example, that if you have chametz stored over there, that you're also over? Therefore, the pasuk says in all your boundaries. So now we understand so far, in other words, why the pasuk. So we begin to understand why the pasuk is mentioning all these details. Because if it only said early yimatze b'vateichem, so fine. Lo yimatze, we're saying again, you have cases where it's lo yiroa, where it is not visible, because for example, you closed it up in a drawer, but it's still yimatze, it's still found in your possession, and therefore it's aser. And now we're saying the same thing would apply even if it was in a bur shiach hamayra, because it says b'chol gvulecha. So now you still might argue, still though, since the pasuk says lo yimotze b'vateichem, so maybe the whole concept of, so maybe the, and fine, you have like this so far. We have shivas yamaso lo yimotze b'vateichem, and you have lo yiroa b'chol gvulcha. So you have like this, fine. You would say your houses, and your house obviously is part of your gvul. So fine, if you have chametz there, over mishum bal yiroa, bal yimotze, there you can be over if chametz is seen. If it's found, uval yatmin, you're not allowed to hide it away. Uval yukaba b'kdonis min anachri, that you're not allowed to accept a pikadon from a goy, bigvulin. And we know from the pasuk where it says bigvulin, it says lo yiroa. So therefore, we learn from that shocho iataroya. You're not allowed to see your own chametz. Aval ataroya shalachedem shogavaya. You're allowed to see chametz that belongs to the goy or that belongs to Hashem, that belongs to Hekdesh. Minayin liter as a omer shal zebe zebe shal zebe zebe. How do we know that we can interchange them? How do we know that the isur of lo yimotze applies also in gvulcha? And that the issue of lo yiroa applies also in your house. And remember, so far we're saying that there's a difference between lo yiroa and lo yimotze. The Kesef Mishnah, in fact, on the Rambam explains explicitly that the Rambam would understand that the fact is the Rambam lists them as two separate lavim in the Torah, meaning, in other words, so and the Rambam's rule is always that you don't just count separate lavim where it's just coming to reinforce the lav. So it has to be, if the Rambam counts them as two of the 365 loisa says, there must be an actual difference between them. And the Kesef Mishnah explains that's exactly it. If, for example, you were to take the chametz and hide in a drawer, you're over on bal yimotze, but not on bal yirah. If you have the chametz is, If the chametz is visible, but it's not yours, for example, it was a pikadon from a goy, then you're over on lo yiroa, but not on lo yimotze. So they're actually two separate situations. But how do we know that they apply interchangeably? That what applies bivateichem also applies in gvulcha and vice versa. Therefore, the pasuk says by both of them sa'ur, which gives us a gzeira shava. So by lo yimotze, it says it shouldn't be found in your houses. By the gvulin everywhere else outside your house, it also says sa'ur lo yura lachasar. Therefore, mas sa'ur ha'omer babatim over mishum bal yura or bal yimotzel bal yatmin or bal yikabah b'tonis min anochrim. So just like in the house, obviously you're over on these things bal yura bal yimotzel, and therefore you're not allowed to hide chametz away, and you're not allowed to take a pikkudin from a goy. Af sa'ur ha'omer gvulin. The same thing when it comes to the gvulin anywhere outside your house. For example, a boshia chamira over. So it applies over there also. So you're not allowed to, for example, accept the pikkudin from a goy and then put it in the bur. And on the other hand, we have a kula that we learn from these psukim. Just like when it comes to the gvulim, you're allowed to see your own chametz. You're not allowed to see your own chametz, but you're allowed to see chametz that belongs to others, meaning goyim or to gavoya, to hekdesh. The same thing applies even in the house itself. You would be allowed to see the chametz of the goy. Now we're going to talk about later. We're going to talk about tomorrow. Bez Hashem, that nevertheless, midrabbanan, you do have to put a mechitza in front of it. You have to close it up so that you don't come to eat it. But on a daraisa level, for example, if you sold your chametz to a goy, like this, we put it in a closet and we put tape on it and we put chains and we put signs saying that it's chametz, etc. Midaraisa, you wouldn't need any of that. Midaraisa, you could leave it right there in your fridge or in your pantry or whatever, and it would be fine because it doesn't belong to you. Okay. So now let's analyze the braisa. We said in the Braisa, we said maybe you would think that these dinim apply only to a goy that you didn't conquer, the ein shori imcha b'chotzer, and he's not living with you in the same chotzer, but nachri shekibashtoi, a goy that you control him, meaning therefore Rashi says his mamon is like yours, whatever he owns, you have the ability to take away from him anytime you want, let's say. That would be, well, when the Yidden took over Eretz Yisrael, for example, then they have a mitzvah to kill all the goyim over there, right? Like Sechaya called Neshama. But we're talking about in later times. Let's say you have a goyish slave, for example. Or at least the Shori Imcha B'chotzer, or where he lives in the same chotzer with you. So how do we know that the same issue applies? Tamad Loima Lo Yimotze. So the question is, Klape Laya, which direction are you going? That seems to be backwards. There's more reason to say that a nachri shekibashtoi is more logical to be usur. A nachri shaloi kibashtoi, there's less logic to assume that these dinim apply. So what does the braisa mean? Amar Abaya Epoch. So Abaya says, you're right, you have to flip around. What it means is you would think that maybe it's only usur when a goy gives you a pikkudin, only if the goy was shekibashtoi, where then after all, it's as if it amounts to being yours. How do you know the same din applies that you're not allowed to take a pikkudin from a nachri shaloi kibashtoi is lo yimotze? So that's Abaya. Rava Amar La'olam La'tepuch. Rava says you actually don't need to flip it around. Va'areshakoi, when the Braisa mentions this distinction between kibashtei and shaloi kibashtei, is referring back to the resha. It's not referring to the last thing that we just said about taking pikkudin from a goy. It's talking about actually the first part of the Braisa when it mentioned that you're allowed to see chametz shalachedim v'shogavoya. Where it says, shalachoy ataroy avalataroy shalachedim v'shogavoya, einli ela benach. So you would think maybe that heter that you're allowed to see chametz that belongs to a goy only applies to a goy that you weren't koivish, the ein shori imcha b'chotzer, or he's not living with you in the chotzer, so there's no chametz in your actual chotzer. Nachri shekibashtoi, but if you conquered the goy, the shori imcha b'chotzer, or at least if he's living with you in the chotzer, and therefore you control him, and for example, if you were to tell him that he has to get rid of his chametz, then he would be obligated to do so. So minayin, how do we know that you're not obligated to tell him to get rid of his chametz? And in fact, even that if he has chametz left in your house, not as a pikkudin, but just he happens to have it in your house, then you're allowed to leave it over there, and you don't have to get rid of it. There's more of a chiddush, because even though kibashtoi, that's Rava's point, the chiddush is greater with that, with nachrisha kibashtoi, because you would think since you control him, maybe it should be osir. Therefore, tamad lema lo yimotze. Therefore, the pasuk says lo yimotze, there shouldn't be found. Now, then, the question is, v'hai tana mahadar ahatera. In that case, according to Rava's explanation, the tana is trying to explain how the heter works. That even though the guy is kibashtoi, and you would think you can't have his chametz in your possession, still you're allowed to. So we're trying to find a heter. V'nosiv l'krol l'isura. So why is he bringing a pasuk that implies an isur? Lo yimatzi. He should be bringing a pasuk that implies a heter. The answer is mishum shenem l'cha l'cha trei zimni. The answer is that when the Tana is mentioning the pasuk lo yimatzi, he's focusing not so much on the words lo yimatzi, but on the word l'cha. In other words, you have there's two different lo yimotzes in the psukim. There's shivas yamim sa'ur lo yimotze bevateichem, and there's also lo yeror lachacham there's only the one pasuk lo yimotze. But since it says lacha lo yeror lacha sa'ur. And it says that lo yiror l'cha chametz v'lo yiror l'cha sa'ur. And again, in Parashas Re'eh, it repeats lo yiror l'cha sa'ur. So therefore, the Tana is focusing on that. That when he says that now you have an extra word l'cha, in other words. So therefore, it's one of those examples. Since you don't need it again by lo yiror, because you already have it in two different places, therefore we can take one of them and apply it to lo yimotze. So therefore, the result is lo yimotze l'cha. It's as if the pasuk had said lo yimotze l'cha, there cannot be found for you. So if the chametz is yours, then it can't be found in your possession. But if it's not yours, even though the goy is kavush tachas yadcha, then it's allowed to be found and it's allowed to be seen in your possession.
Then the question is Omamar. Okay, so let's look further in the Braisa. Yochu yatmin bi kabel pekdonis min anachrim. You would think that you're allowed to hide your chametz away without destroying it, or take a pekodin from a goy. And we're saying tamud loyma lo yimotze. What do you mean? You just said that you're allowed to see chametz of a goy. Why are we saying now you can't take a pekodin of chametz from a goy? The answer is like Kasha, hod kabel alei achrayus, hod like kabel alei achrayus. It depends whether the yid accepted achrayus for the chametz, that if the chametz gets lost or destroyed or whatever, that he's going to reimburse the goy. It depends on that. There is a three-way machlokes rishonim, what kind of achrayus the yid would have had to accept in order for it to be osir. So if he accepts achrayus, then in effect it's considered his. If he doesn't accept achrayus, if he's just watching it for the goy, but there's no achrayus involved, then it would be shel acherim.
And did he sell it to the non-Jew too?
No, obviously, if he sold it to the goy, we're not talking about that. If he sold it to the goy, then it's a full sale. We talked about it at the beginning of the Masechta, the Alter Rebbe stresses. Now we cover it up and we put it in a closet, etc. That's based on the din de rabbanon that we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But now we're talking on a daraisa level. Exactly. So if the yid doesn't take achrayus for it, he says, fine, you're welcome to keep this in my house. But if it gets lost, then I don't have to pay you anything. Then it's not considered the yid's chametz. But if the yid accepted achrayus for it, then it is considered his chametz. And whether the three opinions among Rishonim are that whether does it have to be that he accepted, is it enough that he accepted responsibility like a shomer chinam, where the only thing he's responsible for is if he was pesheya, if he was careless with it. Does it have to be maybe in order to be osur that it would have to be like a shema socher, where he's chayev for gneiv of aveda if it gets lost or stolen? Or does it have to be that only he's only osur if he accepted even oines, like a shoyel? We have an example of that. Ki hod amalahu Rava levnei Mechuzah, as we find the example that Rava said to the people of Mechuzah, where he lived, he was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva there. Be'iru chamiru debnei chelem v'bataychu. He tells them, get rid of the chametz of the goyish soldiers from your houses. The goyish soldiers it was the responsibility of the people in town to supply food to the soldiers. So sometimes what that would involve is the soldiers, let's say, could bring their own flour, for example, and it would be the responsibility of the Jews to bake bread for them. So you have to get rid of that before Pesach. Kiven de ilu migniv ilu mitvid, because if that flour or whatever it is were to be stolen or lost, bishusaychu koi, it would be in your rishus uba isul shalumi, and therefore you would be obligated to pay back the goy for it. Therefore, it's considered like it was yours, and therefore it would be osur. So we see an example where a pikodin involves achrayus, as in this case, and therefore we're saying it's considered the yid's chometz, and he has to get rid of it. So the question is, that works out according to the opinion that something which is not your own mammon, but leads to mammon, is considered your own mammon. For example, you have Rashi mentions, you have, let's say, for example, kodshim. Now, when you designate an animal for kodshim, there are certain cases where chayev b'achriyuson and some cases where not. For example, you said hare olai oila, I obligate to bring myself an oila or a shlomim or what have you, and then you designated a particular animal for the purpose. If that animal becomes unavailable for the korban for any number of reasons, then you're chayev b'achriyuson and you have to designate a different animal for the korban. So now, the animal itself is not yours because it belongs to Hekdesh, but you chayev b'achriyusay. Reb Shimon holds that that's considered mamoin. So if you say that, then fine. In this case, this flower doesn't actually belong to the Jews. It belongs to the goyim. The Jews just have achrayus for it. But if it gets lost, then they're going to have to pay the goy. Therefore, that's dover hagom l'mamon. If you say it's kamamon dummy, then fine. We understand why they have to get rid of it before Pesach. El l'manda amalav kamamon dummy. But if you say like the chachamim over there that it's not kamamon, my ikalamemra, then what are you going to say? Why should this chametz be considered theirs when it's not actually theirs and it's only gurim to mammon? The answer is shiny hacha d'ama lo yimatze. The difference is, since the pasuk says lo yimatze, then that means you need a higher standard over here. Even though you're right, it wouldn't be considered, according to the chum, it wouldn't be considered their mammon for most other purposes in halacha, but when it comes to chametz, then that's different. Ikadamri, another version of the question and answer went the other way around. Hanichalam ander ama d'ama gurim l'mammon lav k'mammon d'ami. What Rava is saying, we can understand easily according to the Chachamim who say that Dover HaGrim L'Mammon is not Kamamon, Hainu De'itzrich Lo Yimotze. That explains why the Pasuk has to tell us Lo Yimotze, because otherwise you would have thought, it doesn't belong to me, I only have a Achrayus for it, it's only Dover HaGrim L'Mammon, so therefore maybe I should be allowed to keep it, and therefore the Torah has to tell you Lo Yimotze to tell us not like that. But Fakert, you can ask according to Reb Shimon, if you say that Dover HaGrim L'Mammon is automatically Kamamon for all purposes in Halacha, Lo Yimotze Lamali, then what do you need the Pasuk Lo Yimotze for? Automatically, you know that you can't have such a thing. The answer is Itzrich. You still need it. According to Reb Shimon, Sakrad Chamina, because otherwise you might have thought, Hoyo v'chi ise hoder be'ene, what happens if you... The fact is, the soldiers gave you the flower, for example. If you still have the actual flower, then you give it back to them. So Reb Shimon is talking about, for example, the example that Reb Shimon is talking about in Bava Kama is, for example, let's say a person steals kodshim that chayev b'achriyusan. So the question is, now if the animal actually belongs to Hekdesh, the ganav does not have to be kefil. Because the whole concept of paying kefil or bava chamisha only applies to re'ehu, only if he stole an ox or what have you from somebody, from another individual person, not from Hekdesh. So therefore, there's no kefil to Hekdesh. The question is, does he have to pay kefil to the guy he stole it from? Reb Shimon says yes, because davar agrim l'mammon k'mammon dami. But there we're talking about, in other words, that the thing was stolen, and then that he stole the animal, and then t'vachay m'charay, whatever. Here, on the other hand, we're saying the flower still exists. The fact is it hasn't gotten lost and it hasn't gotten stolen yet. You're just returning him his original flower. Therefore, you could argue, lav b'rishus ekoi, maybe it's not considered to be in his rishus, kamash malon, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, the pasuk has to tell us that even so, it is considered in his rishus, and lo yimotze applies. So according to the two versions, Rava's din about where he tells these people from Achuza to get rid of the chametz works according to both the Chachamim and Reb Shimon. In the first version, we would say Reb Shimon would say that it is Gerim L'mam, and therefore I don't need any ribui from a pasuk. The Chachamim say it's not Kemam, and therefore you need Lo Yimotze. In the other one, we're saying the other way around. The Chachamim would say that you need Lo Yimotze because otherwise it's not Mammon, and Reb Shimon would say that you need Lo Yimotze, because otherwise you would think that you can always return the actual flower itself, unlike there, where you're not returning the actual animal itself. Okay. And then we'll continue with this tomorrow, Baz Hashem, and we're going to talk more about these dinim, about chametz of a goy that's in a Jew, that's in a Jew's house during Pesach, what the dinim about it are. Well, nowadays, if you say you're going to give something to Hekdesh, you have to put it in Gnizah, because we don't have Hekdesh. But in the olden days, if you took something and said, I'm giving it to Hekdesh, okay, it belongs to Hekdesh, and then you have to at some point go and bring that over and get that. Oh, so if you made your chametz Hekdesh, Oh, if you find it in the middle of Yom Tov, it's not yours anymore. You don't have the ability to be makdish it because it's not yours. That's what we're going to learn tomorrow. We're going to learn the concept that the pasuk takes it out of your rishus. But on the other hand, the pasuk considers it as if it was in your rishus to be chayev for it. So a person can be over on Bayur or Bayimotze, even though the Torah takes away his ownership and says, you don't own chametz during Pesach. But on the other hand, when it comes to being over on Bayur or Bayimotze, to that extent, you do own it. So if you find it, you just have to cover it over. Or again, we talked about before, maybe on Yom Tov, according to some poskim and the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch, you would even be allowed to burn it on Yom Tov. The second one says not because of the issue is muktzah and burning Shalei Letzorach and so forth. Yeah. So flush down the toilet, but pashtus you could do, I guess, since we don't hold Ein Biyu Chometz El Asreifa, then no, you can't because on Yom Tov, you still have the problem of muktzah. The Chometz itself is muktzah. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah,
so that's the problem. So the only thing you can do, according to that opinion, is kofal of kli. So we're saying that there can be Bal Yeroi without Bal Yematzah and vice versa. If you have chametz, we're saying if you have chametz, for example, that a goy was mafkid by you and where you have achrayus for it, then you have Bal Yeroi without Bal Yematzah. Because not yours, but it's not you. It's not actually yours. Well, because we said over here since it's chayav b'achriyus, so we say it is considered yours. But so what is it? I think the way the Kesef Mishnah explains it is that if you yatmin, then you're over on bal yematzah without bal yeroa, and if you makabel pekdonis min anochri, then you're over on bal yeroa without bal yematzah. I think that's how he says it. I'll have to look at it again, but I think.
Can you repeat that?
Right. So if you hide your chametz in a drawer without destroying it, without selling it to the goy or whatever, then you're over on bal yematzah. So it's not bal yeroa because it's not visible, but it is bal yematzah. And if I remember correctly, the Kesef Mishnah says that if you accept a pikkudin from a goy, you might be over on bal yeroa without bal yematzah. Because fine, maybe it's not yours actually. Again, you know, depending on the different levels of achrayus that you have over here. But the fact is, it is visible and it is something that you have achrayus for, and therefore you'd be over on bal yeroa. I'm not sure about that last point. I'll have to look it up again. But yeah.
Why do you say there's a difference of ownership between bal yeroa and bal yematzah? You should be on both. The ownership would count or would not count. But you cannot say.
Right. I mean, if the chametz doesn't belong to you at all, then there's no issue. That's what we're saying. Shalachedu mishogavoya is mutter. Only midrabanan do you have to cover it up. But the fact is, you have two different isurim in the Torah: lo yeroa and lo yematzah, and the different and so there has to be a case where you can be over on one without the other. Most of the time, if a person is over, then he's over on both, which is why we usually speak of lo yiro and of bal yiro, bal yematzah in one breath. But there can be cases where you're over on one and not the other.
And that is when it belongs to a goy.
So one case would be when you hide in a drawer and then you don't have bal yiro because it's not visible, but you still have bal yematzah. And the other way around, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember clearly, but I think the Kesef Mishnah says that the other case is if you have, for example, a pikkudin from a goy, there can be cases where it's not bal yematzah, but it's still bal yeroa because it's visible in your possession.
We really don't need this difference because you say there are two lavim, one for each. So why do we need the distinction between if it's yours or if it's a goy's?
Because again, most of the time, what do you mean? Why do you need the distinction? Most of the time, if you have chametz of your own that's in your possession, then you're over on both. You're over on lo yiro and lo yematzah. You have to find cases, given that the Rambam lists them as two separate lavim, there have to be cases where you're over on one and not the other. And this is what we're trying to find. But you're right. Most of the time, if you have regular chametz that's your own and it's visible in your house, then yes, you're over on both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.